Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see everyone gathered here this morning on this beautiful, sunshiny, warm spring day. Welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. First, our food pantry volunteers tomorrow are Nelson, Michelle Lofgren, and Jan Nelson. Our Bible study continues on Tuesday at 10 o'clock with the Purpose-Driven Life. We are almost at the end of this study, but we still welcome you to come if you are interested. We read as we study, so there's nothing that you need to do in advance. On this Wednesday at 5:15, we have the last of our Lenten soup suppers, and that will be over at Union Congregational, and we're providing the desserts. So if you signed up to bring a dessert this Wednesday, please check and remember that you're doing that. Also, Wednesday, 5:45 is Youth Night. I'm expecting the confirmation students to be over at Union Congregational, so whoever's providing the meal for our students only needs to take care of about half of them, because the rest of them should be with me over at Union Congregational. And I'm hoping everyone is able to come to this very last soup supper. We've had really good attendance and a lot of wonderful fellowship and, of course, excellent soup. So we invite you to join us for that. Next Sunday, just a reminder, that is Palm/Passion Sunday. So I do hope people come to that particular service so that you can hear the triumphal entry and you can hear some of the rest of the story. And we will celebrate both of them out of the understanding that people are not necessarily going to be going over or coming here actually for Maundy Thursday and then over to Summit for Good Friday and then back over here for Easter. We don't want you to go from the joyousness of Jesus' triumphant entry and the joyousness of Easter without going through the Passion as well. So next week we'll have that opportunity. And looking ahead, also on the 13th at 2 o'clock will be our council meeting. There should be some little slips of paper back there that say lilies for Easter. Have those been put out? What we're asking is that you fill out the form to designate people that you want to remember or to honor, and a contribution toward the Easter lilies that we will have on Easter Sunday. And you can put the completed form either in the offering plates, or you can put it in Shelley's office, or you can give it to me. Any questions about Easter lilies? Also, because this is the first Sunday of the month, it's a day that we recognize birthdays and anniversaries. I don't see any April anniversaries. Am I missing any anniversaries? But we do have several birthdays. So on April 14th, Jolene Foss. On April 15th, Ellie Pearson. April 17th, Rosemary Brinker. April 17th is Robert McCorkle. And April 22 is Julie Silvernagle. Am I missing any birthdays for the month of April? All right, then let us pray for those who have April birthdays. Good and generous God, we thank you for these individuals who are part of our faith community. We ask that you walk with them during this upcoming year. Be with them whatever they may encounter. In good times and in bad, let them feel your presence as you walk beside them all the way. For you never abandon or forsaken your own, but instead call them to you. And so we ask that you bless these individuals with April birthdays. Bless them, especially on the day of their births. Bless especially those who are our young people who have so far to walk. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? I believe that those who are doing the home-delivered meals know who you are and have been... I know for me, I went on the home-delivered meals for the first time this week, and part of me is kicking myself for not having done it before, because I see the extreme need in this community for that service, and I'm so thankful that we have the month of April when we can care for individuals in our community in this way. So if there is nothing else, I invite you to stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us return to God, confessing our sin in the assurance of God's abiding love. Compassionate One, you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, but our lives do not always reflect you and your love for the world. We do not show others the tender compassion you have shown to us. We do not welcome others with the radical hospitality you grant to all people. We oppress others, even though you have set us free again and again. We squander the abundant gifts of the earth. Transform our lives and guide us again in the way of the cross. Amen. Beloved in Christ, God's arms are always stretched open wide to welcome the wandering ones home. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. You have a place in God's house forever. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, number 324. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer of the day. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 43. The prophet declares that long ago God performed mighty deeds, and delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage through the waters of the sea. Now, God is about to do a new thing, bringing the exiles out of Babylon and through the wilderness in a new exodus. A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 126 responsibly. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream?
Then
our houses filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the vineyard.
Those who sow with tears will weep with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3. Writing to Christians in Philippi, Paul admits that his heritage and reputation could give him more reason than most people to place confidence in his spiritual pedigree. But the overwhelming grace of God in Jesus calls Paul to a new set of values. The reading from Philippians. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings, by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached that goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In today's gospel, we once again return to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In a short time before this event that is occurring in today's gospel, Jesus was in Bethany for a different reason. He had heard that his friend Lazarus was sick, and he delayed his return to that village, and then he got the report that Lazarus was dead. Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, came to him and said, "If you had only been here, Lord, our brother would not have died." And his response was to weep. And people looked at him and said, "See how much he loved him." And then Jesus asked that the stone be rolled away from the tomb. He heard those protests, but so many days have passed, he's going to smell. And the stone was rolled away, and Jesus cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And here comes this figure that is tied up in bandages, and he has to be cut away from those bandages. He's freed from the death that he had suffered. And after that, people start plotting to kill Jesus. But in today's event, they're having a party. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus have invited Jesus to come and celebrate with them. And so he does. We're told that they have the same sorts of positions as we've seen them in before. That Mary is at Jesus' feet, that Martha is the one serving, that Lazarus is reclining at table. But Mary does something extraordinary. She takes a jar of costly perfume worth at least 300 days' wages. And she breaks it open, and she pours it over Jesus' feet. And there's so much of it that she has to wipe up some of the excess with her hair. The fragrance of the perfume fills the room. Something else fills the room as well, and that is the extravagance of her love. So love, fragrance of love here is the fragrance of this costly perfume. But Jesus, there with perfume all over his feet, not anointed on his head in this particular passage, but anointed on his feet, not anointed in the way of a king, but anointed as one who will continue to walk, who is walking on the road to Calvary. Feeling that abundant love of his friends. And Judas interrupts. "Why was this done? Why in the world would you waste such a costly ointment? It could have been sold for 300 denarii, and a denarii is a day's wage. It could have been sold, and that money given to the poor." We're told he's saying this not because he cares about the poor, but because he cares about himself and the profit he could have made by taking some of that for himself. Jesus stands up for Mary. "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's doing what she is doing because she is preparing me for my burial. She's the first to proclaim the news about what Jesus is going to do, what his death means, the value of his death. She's already seen him overcome death by calling her brother forth from the tomb. And he's been talking about how he needs to experience death himself, but that he will be rising on the third day. And she may not understand the costliness of Jesus' gift, but she knows how to respond to extravagant love. And the only way to respond to extravagant love is with extravagant love. And that's what we see. This love that is going to carry him forward on that cruel road to the cross. Because we know the rest of the story. Mary did not. So here is a gospel filled with sensory details, filled with sound and sight and smell. And it calls us to ask how we respond to the extravagant love of God. Do we do as Mary did and express our love in an extravagant way? Do we take care of one another? Because how do we care for God? By caring for one another. Those two great commandments again: love God, love neighbor. And the way to love God is by loving neighbor. Do we do as Mary did? Or do we do as Judas did? Judas, who has been walking with Jesus, by this time should know Jesus. But he doesn't. He sees, he experiences the extravagant love of God. And what does he do? He walks away. He begins that walk away here, it seems. In the Gospel of John, the betrayal is not when he kisses Jesus. It's not even when he has those pieces of silver in his hand. It is when he walks away from that love. In our second reading, we heard from Paul, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead." During this time of Lent, we are asked to come to know Jesus more closely through our works, through our prayers, through taking time in the scriptures, taking time to meditate. I think it's appropriate that in this month we are serving home-delivered meals, another way of taking care of neighbor. And all we do, are we responding appropriately to that extravagant love of God? Or are we doing what Judas did, thinking of ourselves and turning away? Do you remember last week's gospel, what it was? What we often call the story of the prodigal son. Another story of the extravagant love of God. How do we respond? Do we walk with Jesus? Do we walk with neighbor? Or do we turn away as Judas did, thinking of ourselves? That is the challenge of our gospel lesson today. The hymn of the day is the same hymn we've been singing through Lent, because I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk beside me. I don't want to turn away, even when times are hard. even when I wonder why I need to continue to walk down the challenging road of life. I want Jesus to walk with me. God has already shown God's extravagant love to me over and over and over again. And I need Jesus to continue to teach me how to respond with my own love. And so let us sing our hymn of the day, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the Church, the world, and all those in need.
The Church declares your praise, O God. Guide us in the example of Isaiah's imagination, Paul's transformed identity, and Mary's faith and devotion, that our lives, too, may be poured out in love as we trust in your promises. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
The earth declares your praise, O God. Make a way for the planet's future in the sea and the wilderness, the mountains and plains, the tundra and wetlands. Repair habitats and sustainable ecosystems on, above, and beneath the ground. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The nations declare your praise, O God, where religious differences divide. Bring together those who worship you in the name of Jesus Christ, and those who call to you with different names. Guide interreligious dialogue, that faith may unite rather than divide communities. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The people declare your praise, O God. Restore those whose hope has been dampened through a health diagnosis, job or home loss, divorce or death. Bring healing to those in need. We especially lift up those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. For Dick, for Peggy, for Donna. May all who weep now sing songs of joy again. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The gifts of the Spirit declare your praise, O God. We thank you for artists who proclaim the gospel. Inspire music, poetry, and images that proclaim the new things you are doing. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. And at this time, I also want to acknowledge the person who brought us pussy willows, and that is Dean Knauer. So, yeah, you can start watching as they begin to open up a little bit. So we'll be seeing them as they open up. An acknowledgement that spring looks like it might actually be here.
Of angels.
with the church on earth and the host of heaven. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. God the crucified one, God the reconciling spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our sending song is Through the Night of Doubt and Sorrow, and because it might be unfamiliar, I'll have Julie play it for you once.
Thank you.
I love that.